I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting this
time. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix the A-League Hour. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the very perplexing, raging, homophobe, Jake White. How you going?
Yeah, that's not bad. How are you?
I am just brilliant as I just type into Google the word homophobe. A person who fears or hates homosexuals. Okay, then.
Yep, you know.
Well, yeah, bit of a homophobe over here, Jake. You got anything to say about that? Or just going to...
I think we should just move on.
Yeah. Are you going to confirm or deny these accusations?
I'm going to 110% deny it, mate.
Yeah, probably the smart choice here. Today's episode 22 of the A-League Hour. It is in great fashion as the boys are back to talk about the A-League. It's been a good, solid week and a half almost since our last episode, so it's certainly been a long time coming. a week and a half, actually. Maybe 2 days late because of the midweek fixtures in the Premier League. If for those who are keeping up to date with our Premier League podcast, we obviously rearranged the schedule for midweek fixtures. We'll be back on a Tuesday next week. But until then, Jack.
Have a nice.
No, obviously. We'll talk about the A-League today. There was a few intriguing results, to say the least, in the previous weekend of the A-League. Yeah, most notably, you know, Wellington Phoenix got a big result. Central Coast didn't. Realistically, there wasn't really many intriguing results apart from that one. But nonetheless, Jake, we will kick things off by starting with the first game of the weekend, which was on Friday night. Adelaide United hosting Perth Glory in a game we thought was going to be a draw, I think. It turns out it was a draw. Dylan McGowan, the man who's sealed a move to Europe at the end of the season, he scored. He should have scored about three, but he only scored one. Diego Castro popped up in the 46th minute, as he has been doing all season.
With a
nice little dive, yeah. And he scored from the penalty spot. 1-1, the full-time score in a game. Adelaide probably felt unlucky. They had more shots, more possession. They hit the woodwork. And overall, probably would have felt like a win would have been a deserved result for them. But alas, it was a draw. Perth are really just trudging along into finals. Like we said, that they looked the goods maybe a month ago. They were looking like a real solid team if they kept up their form, but they really haven't. They've sort of looked like
sixth at the moment.
Hey,
they're sitting sixth at the moment.
Yeah, they're not even guaranteed finals. Like as it stands, they are only 4 points into the top six, with three games left. So, you never know, like, results could go their way, and I mean, go against them, and Wellington just need to win a few, and they're into the finals, but they're really limping to the finish line at the moment, Perth. A few results have gone against them. You know, we look back, their last win, February 25th, they didn't win a game in March. They drew with Wellington, they lost to Victory 4-1, lost to Sydney 3-0. Like, for a team in finals, you know, those teams are in finals, and if they want to compete, they're going to have to compete with the very best, or at least teams in the top six in the league. And they just don't look like they can at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how they go in finals, should they make it, but just limping along, not looking like the team that we thought they could be after their 5-0 demolition of Adelaide 2 months ago, maybe, a month and a half, so... Not looking good for them, but Jake, Adelaide, they're certainly gaining a bit of respect towards the end of the season. You know, after how bad they've been for the most part of this season, it's good to. I mean, it is not a bad thing, but it's good to see them sort of put in a bit of effort towards the end of the season and try to show their fans that they're gonna, you know, fight to the finish line and and they've certainly improved their season out of sight in the past month or so. And this result, albeit it wasn't a win, certainly a step in the right direction with the basis of play, and hopefully does push them on in the Champions League and for next season.
Yeah, well, it's a bit unlucky for Adelaide in the end, realistically. Like, they've been class over the last month or so, but and obviously they're not going to make finals. There's only two rounds left, and they're 11 points out of the final, so it's impossible. But they started the season reasonably slow, but when you actually look at it in the grand scheme of things at the start of the season, though, they weren't that bad. Like, they started their season off with a 1-1 draw and then with 4-2-1 losses. So it's just one of those ones where if they turned a few of those 2-1 losses into draws and they turned that 1-1 draw into a win, like they had a 1-1 draw after those 4-2-1 losses as well. So if they turn that draw into a win and stuff, then it could be a completely different story.
They could be in the finals.
Exactly. So they're obviously a good team. They've got some class players and stuff, but I guess it just hasn't worked out for them. They were the better team in this game, deserved the win, in my opinion. It's very, very disappointing of Diego Castro to go down the way he did and obviously score the penalty. Like, obviously, it's not disappointing that he scored the penalty, but at the same time, like, it should have never been a penalty. And I feel like if that had happened this week, when the video review system, whatever it is, in this week, I have a feeling that penalty would have been overturned. So it's a bit disappointing to see, because obviously we've spoken a fair bit, and that's disappointing in itself as well, that we've had to speak a fair bit this season about diving in the A-League, and it's disappointing that's happened again, but I don't want to have any rants this week about anything, so I'll stay clear from that for now at least. It was a good game in all fairness. I wasn't really too keen on the fact that this game was the free-to-air game, and then you have Sydney versus City on the Saturday night, not on free-to-air, but this was probably the game of the round, realistically. So, well done to free-to-air.
Take a bow, free-to-air.
More porn on SBS.
We'll go on to Newcastle, Western Sydney here, Jake. Robbie Cornthwaite. Is he the best player in the A-League? Is the question of today's episode. He scored twice, pretty much the same way with his head. In the 40th and the 50th minute, Josh Sotirio, a man who has come a long way this season, and credit where credit's due, he's had his chance and, for the most part, taken it. He got on the score sheet in the 42nd minute with a nice little goal. So again, good on him, Jake, because he deserves it. But Western Sydney are totally destroying Newcastle here, and we've been saying it in recent weeks. Western Sydney really looking the goods towards the end of the season. I know it's only Newcastle who have now dropped to ninth on the table, disappointingly, after how much promise they showed for the most part of the season. But Western Sydney are within touching distance of fourth place, and it was funny to say that they were very close to missing out finals this season after their earlier season form, and even mid-season form, they were sitting outside the top six. And not looking, you know, it's in around sixth, really. Not really looking like they could push on. And when they did look like they could, they hit a stumbling block and went backwards. So no one could really see what was going on. But they've really kicked on towards the end of the season. And they're looking like a team that could probably, if any team apart from Sydney and Victory were going to really contest for that grand final spot, you'd think it'd be Western Sydney at this stage, because they're taking it up to everyone. Obviously, the only team to beat Sydney this season. So they obviously good enough. And, you know, I know it's only Newcastle, but travelling to Newcastle and winning 3-0 is no easy feat. And they've done it convincingly, totally just dominated this game from start to finish. Newcastle did have their chances, but it didn't look like Western Sydney were really in much danger for the most part.
Not at all.
And it's credit to them, because, you know, the team they're fielding at the moment, Terry Antonis, the signing of him has been just a massive boost for them. Brennan Sanchelab, when he's playing, has obviously, like we saw last week with the hat-trick, didn't even play this game, and they won 3-0. Just shows how many more avenues they have to go. Nico Martinez, we've been on him all season, how good he is. He could be a massive X factor in finals. He could be the player that wins them games. Lachlan Scott's obviously come a long way. Soteria, like I said, has come a long way. Kuzakami's going along nicely. Certainly been a good acquisition. And the defence has been good. Aspro, we're both big fans of Aspro this season. He's just taken the game to another level. Janjetovic, like, there's got class everywhere. And they've, in my opinion, they're definitely a threat to both Sydney and Victory for that position in the grand final. It's going to be interesting to see just how well they play in finals if they take this form into it, because you never know what can happen. Finals, obviously, a knockout stage. It just takes one good performance, and West Sydney have shown how good they can be with that win against Sydney, and you just never know, Jake. It's all intense stuff here at the Bernabeu.
It's a weird one, though, because when you actually look at it in the grand scheme of things of what actually could potentially happen for the finals, there's a massive chance that for the semi-finals, it could be a Melbourne derby and a Sydney derby. And that's obviously FFA's dream, realistically. That'd be 50,000 at Etihad for the Melbourne derby and about 45,000 at Allianz Stadium for the Sydney derby. So that's FFA's dream. And you never know what could happen, because obviously Western Sydney the only team to beat Sydney this season. And in my opinion, it's probably a little bit biased because I don't like Sydney, but at the same time, I don't like Western Sydney either. But they should have won the second derby as well, in my opinion. They had a handball wrongly ruled out to be a penalty and stuff. And so you really never know what could happen. The A-League's a very, very interesting
league. If we see a Western Sydney versus Melbourne City grand final, I'm done, though.
You never know what could happen. It's I still think it's going to be a Sydney Victory grand final. Sydney have convincingly been the better team consistently this season. Victory have convincingly, in my opinion, been the second best team this season. Hence the reason why they won too. But they've done very well. I think there were a lot of critics on Western Sydney after they went to Shanghai and got done 5-1. And since then, they've come home, got a 0-0 draw against Adelaide, went over to FC Seoul and won 3-2. Then they won 3-1 against Wellington, won 3-1 against Melbourne City, and now they've just gone and won 3-0 against Newcastle. And people had a lot of question marks over Western Sydney over how are they going to score their goals without Sanslab, and big Robbie Cornthwaite's popped up and scored 2 goals for them. And I think a shining light who hasn't really had too much spotlight on him this season, because Nico Martinez has done well, Sanslab's been classed and stuff, but I think Josh Soteria has been a very, very good player for Western Sydney this season. And I reckon they're a very, very good shout to get a result this week against Melbourne Victory as well, because they are playing some fine football lately. It's disappointing for Newcastle as well. Like I said last week, it's really going to piss me off seeing Newcastle and Central Coast finishing 9th and 10th this season after the promise that they've shown throughout the whole season.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not. It pisses me off a lot because it's not going to help their fan bases. It's not going to help the club in general. It's not going to help them bring in players and stuff like that. Like if one of these teams had snuck into the finals this year, I have no doubt that they would have been able to attract a fair few decent enough players to consistently keep them in that top six. So it's very disappointing they're going to finish 9th and 10th. But you never know at the same time, because they both do play against each other this week. So something could happen. One team could win that, and then Adelaide could lose against Melbourne City, which they probably will realistically, and then that team will go above Adelaide. But at the same time, like, it's just you didn't really think that. Like, I thought Adelaide were going to finish last the whole season after the first half of the season they had. So
wouldn't the ideal situation here be they draw this week, Central Coast and Newcastle? Adelaide lose their final two games, and then both teams win next week, and they're sitting pretty in 8th and 9th.
I don't know, though. At the same time, they don't deserve it, in my opinion. They don't deserve to finish 8th and 9th now. I think the way they've dropped off the last 2 months has been fucking pathetic. And I think they just need a bit of a reality check. That they can't just cruise in the A-League and think, oh, yeah, there's a team below us, who cares? Because now Adelaide have gone in a bit of form and leapfrogged them. I think they just need a bit of a reality check. And they're not going to, they obviously both know they're not going to cruise in the A-League because it's not a very easy league, but
you need to perform week in, week out, or else you'll be sitting where you're sitting right now.
I think the talk, I don't want to go too off topic here, but the talk of the expansion of the A-League, I was just looking at the table now. Perth Glory and Western Sydney are both going to make finals, you'd think. And both in 25 games have won 8. Like, that's like 30% of the games they've played, they've won, and they're going to play in the finals.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even realistically, like, it's not that bad, but third place, Brisbane Roar, have won 10 of their 25 games. They're going to finish third in the league.
Yeah, 40% of their games they've won.
Exactly. Like, I know they've only lost 6, and Victory above them, and Victory have lost 8 games this season, but at the same time, like, it's just, it's been a very one-sided season this season, and there's not much you can do about that, I guess. Sydney have been class, but I feel like it's just, it's not been a very enjoyable season to watch. And my team's sitting second, so I've had more enjoyable seasons to watch when Victory finished 8th. So it's been a very weird season. I think it's just getting dull, I think, the A-League right now. I think it's just one of those ones where we're just going through the motions every single season. It needs change. We need expansion teams. And hopefully the FFA can bring it to us soon.
Well, we'll talk about that, I think, in a little bit after we're talking about these. But we'll kick on. Sydney FC, as we said, one side of this season. The one side in this game against Melbourne City, a 3-0 win, dominating most facets of the game, realistically. Apart from a few nervy moments for Melbourne City, Brosk opened the scoring, 57th minute. Bobo scored in the 63rd and 91st minute. Continue along their merry way, top of the table. No one's catching them. They've already won the Premier's plate. They're the favourites to win the grand final for a reason if they make it. And a result probably many around expected. I know you thought it might be a draw. Melbourne City, obviously, a very up-and-down team. So yeah, we can't really tell. But Sydney did what they had to do, won the game. And that's all she wrote, really.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say on this game. I didn't watch the game because I was at the rugby, but I'm not too surprised, realistically. It's just one of those ones where City haven't turned up and Sydney have put on a clinic. Apparently, it was very, very close in the first half, and City should have gone into the half-time break winning. But, yeah, the second half looked like it was very, very one-sided. So, yeah, fair play to Sydney. They've just done what they've done all season.
Well, Victory, your mob. We won't spend too much time on this, but this is a big win for Wellington Phoenix because they needed to win this game to say any chance of really making the finals. There's still an outside chance, but you never know. Bonaventura was the catalyst for the win, scoring the 9th and the 26th minute. Similar goals, realistically. Shane Smeltz then put the icing on the cake in the 89th minute. Made it 3-0, and that was all she wrote in this one. Wellington had more shots. Victory controlled the ball for the most part. Wellington looked very good, I thought, in this game. And as I said, does keep their slim finals hopes alive. They've got to travel in the last two rounds to Sydney. Or they might play home at Sydney, but they've got to verse Sydney and Brisbane away. In the last two rounds, they need to get at least 4 points from them and hope that Perth lose at two home games to end the season against City and Brisbane, I believe. So it looks unlikely for them, but a great effort from Wellington, who have had another topsy-turvy season. Obviously, they lost Ernie Merrick earlier on in the season, which would have put a bit of a dampener on things, but they turned around, and they've had a few big results, so credit to them. And hopefully, they can kick on next season and push for a finals position. Yeah. In the league, because we don't know.
fair play to Wellington. They outclassed us. The first half, and I'm not beating around the bush here, first half is the worst half of football I've seen Victory have in years. We just didn't look on. They came out of the blocks and looked like they looked like they'd played on Amy Park every single week, realistically. There's not much you can do about to Rolly Bonaventura worldies, but at the same time, when you give a player of Rolly Bonaventura's quality that much time outside the box, you're going to be made to pay for it.
One of the best I've seen in the A-League for a long time.
Very, very good player. He goes missing a lot. There'll be some games, obviously, it happens with every player. Like, the best players in the league go missing sometimes, like Marco Rojas and Ingovic have gone missing a few times this season as well. But, yeah, he's a very, very good player. And there's talk that he may be leaving Lyneton and coming to Australia. So
Western Sydney. Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see who he would end up at. If it's Western Sydney, that's a very, very good pickup for Western Sydney if they can keep players like Antonis and Martinez and Nichols, have a midfield four of Antonis, Nichols, Martinez, and
I think Nichols is on his way out. I think he's already confirmed that he's going to go to Europe next season.
Yeah.
But it would be a like-for-like swap, really.
Yeah. But no, fair play to Wellington. Finkler was class, Barbarous was class, and I think it's credit to Melbourne Victory fans as well for not booing former players and stuff, like when Finkler came over to take a corner in front of the new Melbourne Victory active sort of, and he got a massive round of applause from the whole stadium basically. So that was class to see, and they were the better team. Victory were very, very good in the second half, controlled the game in the second half, but just couldn't break down Wellington. They were trying to walk the ball into the back of the net like the Victory of old of about 2-3 seasons ago. And it just wasn't working. And then Wellington got up the other end when we're down to 10 men. And, they make it three. Smelts always scores against us too. So, but I'm not salty. It was a very good game for Wellington. They put on an absolute clinic and we just went up for it. So, well done to Wellington.
We'll kick things off with the last game of the round, Jake. Brisbane Roar hosted Central Coast. And Central Coast took a very surprise lead. The 49th minute, Fabio Ferreira, who notoriously scores against Brisbane, did score again against Brisbane. Good goal. I think it might have been slightly deflected, but I'm not 100% sure. But from then on, Brisbane Roar, masterclass. In 30 minutes of game time, they scored 5 goals. Jamie McLaren, the catalyst, with 3 of those in 8 minutes. Really, you know, responding to his critics that he, and responding to not getting in the Socceroos squad. Which was fair enough, in my opinion, that he didn't make it into the squad with a hat-trick, which is what you want to see from a player like Jamie McLaren. Thomas Broich, in the 82nd minute, scored a nice little goal. Before De Agostino just went bang.
Yeah, it's just a very good finish.
What a goal that was from the 19-year-old who has big raps on him. It's another player that I'm going to talk up. I think he scored about 3 or 4 goals for the Brisbane Roar senior team this season. All off the bench, one in the Champions League, I think. It's just a big credit to Brisbane Roar's academy, bringing through the likes of D'Agostino and Coletti. And I think Borrello came through with their academy as well. So,
yeah,
big credit to them. They've obviously got a nice setup up there, a lot of talent in Brisbane. And
they need a second team.
Hey?
They need a second team in Brisbane, might be. Like in the Ipswich area.
Yeah.
We won't go into
if they've got that much talent in their academy, it'd be nice to be seeing some of them maybe getting more senior gigs. It's obviously hard to get into a team the likes of McLaren, Broich, Holman. Obviously, Coletti's broken through at the moment. Credit to him. He does deserve his position in the team. But, they probably just need another Brisbane team. Ipswich, like I said, would be good. Probably another day to talk about, you know, promotion, relegation, expansion, stuff like that. We've certainly touched on it before. Brisbane, full credit to them. They retain their third spot on the table. And in stylish fashion, with a 5-1 win against the Central Coast side, like you said earlier, that had just dawdled off towards the end of the season. It looked so good, but they've just struggled for the most part of the second half of the season. And I think it's the young players, just they're all tired. They're waiting for the season to end so they can take a break. a good experience for all the young players of Central Coast. They've got a gig this season. You know, Adam Berry, Paul Izzo, Trent Bahaja, just to name a couple. They'll be better for it. Hopefully next season they can take this experience and really push on and maybe seem more of a threat to the finals than they were this season, which they actually looked for the most part that they could make finals. But, Brisbane just too good on this day and too good in general this season.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be completely honest. Central Coast were the better team for the first hour. I'm not even – like, you look at the 5-1 scoreline and you think, yeah, Brisbane for the clinic. But Central Coast genuinely deserved to be going up 1-0 after 50 minutes and stuff like that. They were the better team for the first hour. And, again – the last half an hour of the game from Brisbane, where they scored 5 goals, that's the best I've seen Brisbane play for about 4 years since they last won a grand final. Like, that was ridiculous. Every single time they went forward, they looked like they were going to score. And, like, I read something after this game as well, when they were doing Shootout, that show on Fox Sports. Central Coast had more possession and more shots after an hour. And after the game had finished, Brisbane had 24 shots of goals to Central Coast 9. So in the last half hour,
15 shots on goal.
In the last half hour, Brisbane had 18 shots of goal.
Yeah, GG.
Yeah, so they just put on an absolute clinic. They were the better team for the last half an hour, in all fairness to them. And if you give Brisbane Roar enough space and enough time, especially someone like players like Bruch and McLaren, they'll make you pay. And that's what happened. So fair play to Brisbane. I don't think they really deserve the win all that much, but if Central Coast give them that much space to do what Brisbane will do best, then that'll make you pay. So well done to Brisbane.
How's Ivan Dostoevsky still getting a gig? I thought he played one good game, but how's he still keeping Paul Izzo out of the side? That was the round. We'll start quickly, just touch on the table, even though it's pretty obvious what the table is at the moment. Sydney FC first, Melbourne Victory second, Brisbane Roar third, Melbourne City fourth, and Western Sydney fifth. That is pretty much set in stone, apart from a complete and utter calamity from Western Sydney, alongside Perth Glory, who sit a point further back in sixth. Wellington Phoenix, the only potential player in the race for the finals that could change it, but they sit 4 points further back with 2 games remaining. It looks unlikely. Adelaide in 8th, Newcastle in 9th, Central Coast on the bottom of the table, unfortunately. Just not going their way this second half of the season. In the goal scoring charts, best up, Bruce has 18. That's not updated. Bear with me, lads, while I get the updated one. You know how bad that app is, Jake? It's not good. Pretty sure McLaren's on 18 now, isn't he? Yeah. Bessart, yep. Brisher and Jamie McLaren equal first in the Golden Boot. Who would have thought McLaren would be up there? Well, I mean, obviously before the season.
Legit, but ever since we gave him that big fucking old blow about 2 months ago about him, how he needs to pull his head in and everything like that, he pulled his head in.
Do you reckon he listens? I reckon he's a dead set listener.
And Evan Dahl, I was looking after this game, ever since we got stuck into him, he's played 6 games and scored 9 goals.
Yeah, and that's what you want. McLaren, you need to pull your head in, mate. Score more goals. I need a hat-trick from you every week. He's a decent chance of winning the Golden Boot.
Yeah, well, he's equal Golden Boot runner.
Yeah, and I really like McLaren. I know you like him as well. Obviously, he's had a bit iffy form this season, but you wouldn't have thought it'd be a Golden Boot chance about a month ago, and like you said, you know, he's pulled it together and he's done well since his since his omission from the Socceroos squad. And I think he's, as it stands, he's almost a lock for the next World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, obviously we can't really rely on Cahill forever. Juric didn't look that good in the last qualifiers. Jamie McLaren, very smart player, I think, in an environment where we sort of play better football than Brisbane. Brisbane, notoriously this season, have crossed it one too many times. McLaren, he's not that good in the air, but I think McLaren could kick on, hopefully. Maybe go to Europe, maybe cement himself in the Socceroos, but we'll see. Fornaroli sits further back. The new Australian citizen. not, unfortunately, I imagine. Bobo and Santalab equal fourth on 14 goals. Rojas still flirting around on 12. And in the assists, Marco Rojas sits on 11, the likely winner of the Johnny Warren medal, Rojas, this season, despite him not really kicking on towards the last few weeks or last month.
I hope he does. I don't know.
He'd be a decent chance, surely.
I think Ninkovic will, just because, and also Sydney have been class, but Ninkovic has been a standout for Sydney every single week, which Rojas, he's had, like, 1 week, Rojas has been boss, and Trojic has been boss, and Rojas has been boss, and Trojic has been boss, so I think they'll just take points off each other.
Yeah, it'll probably be a Ninkovic first, and Rojas and Trojic second and third.
Yeah, probably.
Then you have a few players, even Berisha, leading the Golden Boot, I mean, he'll probably be up there as well. Ninkovic sits second. Nico Martinez, our mate, sits third. Chrissy Harreld is somehow sitting fourth, alongside Mitch Nichols. And a few further back, like the likes of Kamau, Choisi, Brosk, Krishna, and Ryan Grant. So that's that. We'll kick on here with the JJ's Football Fix A-League Player of the Season Award. We're not releasing any of the scores at the moment, because we want it to be a surprise at the end of season. We'll announce the winner in grand final week, I reckon. We won't give votes out for the finals or anything, but we'll do a player of the finals one. But we can't do that. It doesn't really work. Whatever. Whatever. It is what it is. Jake, who's your one vote this week?
My one vote this week goes to Rolly Bonavarsia. He was class against Victory, scored two very, very good goals to control the game alongside players like Finkler, Barbarousis and Krishna. So, well done to him. Very good player, and he gets my one vote.
Jake, my singular vote this week goes to the left-back from Sydney, Michael Zulo. Kept a clean sheet in a 3-0 victory against City, as well as assisting twice. And a big effort from him, and one that cannot go unnoticed in the grand scheme of things, Jake.
You're not wrong. my two votes this week goes to... never thought I'd give him two votes, but Robbie Cornthwaite. scored two goals, got a clean sheet. Not really much more you could really say, realistically. You don't really see that every single day of the week from a centre-back, especially of Robbie Cornthwaite's quality. But yeah, the last few weeks I've given Robbie Cornthwaite votes, and what's his name, fucking goalkeeper? Ivan Sevsky votes as well. I never thought that would happen in season 12 of Hyundai A-League, but it's happened, so well done to him.
I'm giving my two votes to Rolly Bonavarsia.
Oh, that's cute.
Because he scored twice, and that's why he gets two votes.
That's my reason for Roy Krishna. What? I don't know.
Yeah, that's you pretty much summed it up before, so like really go in depth, really.
Yeah, my three votes goes to Jamie McLaren as well. He's very good and as playing well. Very good. Well, I think you're going to give it to him as well. So.
It'd be very surprising if I didn't give him any votes for scoring a hat trick, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm speaking on behalf of both of us right now and saying that he was very good. Got a hat trick. Hopefully he's in the next Socceroos squad for the Confederations Cup, because he has earned his spot over the last month or so since we gave him a rocket.
Give him six votes, Jake.
Yeah.
I won't vote for three, so you can give him six.
Yeah, sweet. Good on him. Nicely.
All right, so the leaderboard is disclosed, because we are not telling anybody anything about that until the end of the season. Jake, we can talk about a few things today. What we will talk about, though, is the Team of the Month was announced for the A-League for March. We'll quickly have a gander about that, starting off with keeper, and we can discuss if we think anyone else maybe deserves a spot ahead of this player in the team. The goalkeeper, Vedran Jan Jedovic, conceded two goals in March. Key part to Western Sydney's revival. And yeah, played every game. And what a signing he was for Western Sydney. No, can't really complain with it, can we?
No, we can't.
But yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Defence, we have Jack Clisby from Western Sydney, Taylor Regan from Adelaide, and a Robbie Cornthwaite from Western Sydney Wanderers. Jack Clisby, I haven't got any stats for him, so I don't know. He's pushed for a big month for Western Sydney.
Big Jack says he was a fucking baller.
Taylor Regan has actually been really good, and in fairness to him, and I've never really thought very highly of him, but good on him. And he's been part of Adelaide's late season revival. Robbie Corn played, obviously. He scored twice. He gave him two votes. I don't even know.
Yeah, gave him two.
Big part of their sort of kick on revival. I don't know.
Revival. Everyone's in a fucking revival.
It's because everyone's so shit. But yeah, Cornthwaite, he also makes it. Jake, I'm going to say Clisby is probably the only one there, which I'm not sure about. I'm just giving Michael Zulo a vote in the player of the season. He's been very good for Sydney again this month. Apart from that, top of my head, it's not too many players. Maybe Wilkinson, obviously, is Sydney still doing their job. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You have any
nothing, mate.
Yeah, helpful. Midfield, Rolly Bonavazia,
he's a good player.
Milos Ninkovic, Thomas Broich.
He's a good player too.
They all make it.
They're very good players.
There's four forwards in this team.
What the fucking formation is?
3-3-4. Oh, God. Alright, Bonavazia. In late February, he got left out of the team for breaching team discipline. So he turned it around in March, and
made the team. Good player.
I need statistics. I've got no statistics. I just got a picture of them, and then a bit of stuff on the bottom. Milos Nikovic
with revivals all over.
Milos Nikovic, part of Sydney's revival. Look, probably not a revival. There are obviously class player Ninkovic and Sydney, and like you said, he's been a big part of their season this year and probably win the Johnny Euro medal. And I guess you can't really leave him out of the team of the month because he's every single month he's in the team of the month. So, and Thomas Broich, I don't know, I've got no stats, like, he just makes the team, part of Brisbane's revival.
They were sitting third and fourth all season. Yeah,
well, now they're clear in third. Yeah, any complaints there?
I'm not going to complain with anything, Jordan.
Okay, the forwards. Jamie McLaren.
Good player.
Bobo.
Needs to pull his finger out.
Bobo. Another good player. Brennan Santalab.
Yeah, good player.
And Costa Barbarousis.
Yeah, good player. He cried a little bit when he left Victory.
The only player that they said he could have made the team that didn't was Baba Diawara. So,
I reckon you're a bit stiff on George out there.
Yeah, me too. Coach of the month here, Jake. Tony Popovich. Undefeated in March, pretty much.
Jim McGilton was better.
that's all it was. I tried making discussion out of that, but it just didn't work.
I tell you what, though, Jim McGilton.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone from Melbourne Victory manager once, and now he's managing an under 13s team in Iceland.
Yep, that's what you want.
There's your quote for this week.
Jamie McLaren, bit of credit to him. He's made the FIFA 17 Ultimate Team of the Week.
Yeah, look, that's generally what happens when strikers score hat-tricks.
Yeah, but Robbie Cornthwaite didn't.
He didn't score a hat-trick.
Defender scoring two goals.
If he had scored a hat-trick, he would have been. What a fucking shit-up.
Storm Roo has re-signed with Central Coast, Jake.
Yeah, good player. This is a very good signing for the two, in all fairness. Like, he's actually... I think he's their captain, right? No, Nick McGuire is the captain.
Why is a segment on A-League's website called Aussies in Thai Premier League? Matt Smith, Mark Bridge.
I thought he retired.
Mark Bridge is close to what? Coastal will return.
Return to who? Western Sydney?
Lee's team.
Ah, oh, from injury.
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't in the Socceroos squad.
He fractured his tibia in pre-season. Oh,
okay.
Isaka Cernak, Sisaket FC, suffered a third consecutive defeat.
As if Isaka Cernak's getting a gig somewhere in fucking Asia.
In Thailand.
Yeah, but still. Like, it's Isaka Cernak. He played for like 7 A-League clubs.
Alright, there is a... There's a segment they've put together here. MLS versus Hyundai A-League.
Oh, here we go. MLS shits on the A-League, sorry.
Oh, what have they done here? The Hyundai A-League averages 3 goals per game through its first 23 rounds, 115 games, while the MLS is slightly lower at 2.8 goals through 32 matches.
It's because the MLS has better defenders.
Atlanta United FC and the Portland Timbers are already averaging over 3 goals per game this season, while Melbourne Victory, the A-League's best, with 2.1 goals per game. We have more average, more goals a game. But
it's because there's probably teams in the MLS that average like 0.1 goals a game.
In terms of shots, there are slightly more shots than average.
America has a lot more because they're gunless.
There's slightly more shots per game on average in the A-League, 25-22. It's such a shit article. Why are they doing this? Obviously, MLS is better. Probably because of the salary cap and stuff like that. Passing. It's here the MLS stands out. Of course it does. Because they've got fucking Pirlo and Schweinsteiger and Gerrard and all these people. Gerrard doesn't play anymore.
We're stuck with Rashid fucking Mahazi.
Mahazi and Bacchus. He's pretty good. On the combined list of those who are averaged the most passes per game, US-based players fill the first 10 positions. Atlanta's Chilean midfielder Carlos Carmona tops the charts with an average of 82.5 passes per game. The best A-League average is Dimas Delgado, who averages 68 per game. MLS averages about 30 more passes per game than the A-League. So obviously we're just punting it long more often than not, aren't we? Carmona combines quantity with quality. 92% of his passes find the mark, second to only Portland's Nagabi with 92.4. The best accuracy in the A-League belongs to Melbourne City defender Rion Tongic with 90.3, placing him 4th% on the list. 4th on the combined list. 4th%, okay. Tavares is next, while Jakobsen is second, and yeah, I don't even know. On average, Jake, there are 30,400 in the A-League compared to 24,900 in the MLS. The tackle success is higher in the A-League, though, with 72.5% compared to MLS of 70.6%. MLS, that's incredible. The MLS have less yellow fouls accumulation. Yellow cards.
Yellow fouls.
Asians.
I've got a conversation topic for you, Jordan.
The MLS and the A-League?
No, it's nothing to do with the MLS. The video review system's coming to the A-League this week.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
I'm torn on it. I reckon the amount of mistakes A-League refs make, it needs to be in, but I just feel like it's going to create pointless stoppages throughout the whole game.
That's what I don't like. Destroys the flow of the game, Jake.
It does. I like flowing things.
I don't know about that one, but
just quietly.
Yeah.
I think we should move on to the preview.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, we are an A-League hour podcast, and we have 15 minutes to fill.
We'll have an in-depth preview.
We'll probably just go under time. I was just trying to talk about stuff, Jake. You make me feel bad.
Do I?
Melbourne City hosts Adelaide. In this one, the Bet365 bet of the week. Not.
Yeah, I've done that.
$1.60 for Melbourne City, though. Not bad. Adelaide United have won 3 of their last 4 games against Melbourne City, so obviously we're not going to go with that bet. Melbourne City are hunting for consecutive home wins against Reds for the first time in their A-League history.
Cool.
So they should get that one, though. Melbourne City have scored exactly 1 goal in each of their last 6 games on a Friday. They're only 1-7, that's banned, they managed to win. So I reckon if we can go both teams to score in this one, Jake, I reckon we're looking at a winner.
Yeah, you could be if both teams score. I think both teams will score, Jordan. I think it's going to be a score draw. I think it's going to be 7-7. Nah, it'll be 1-1. I reckon it'll be a very good game as well. I think Adelaide are starting to hit some decent form heading into the finals that they won't compete in. Well, and City are just like trotting along. They've had finals secured for about 5-6 weeks. So,
well, Adelaide are in better form than Melbourne City right now.
Yeah, it just doesn't surprise me at all. They're probably in better form than Melbourne Victory as well.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've done very well. They've started to pull their head. I think the Asian Champions League has brought around their form as well. I think they really want to have a genuine crack at it. Yeah, so fair play to them. I think it's going to be a draw, though.
Wellington Phoenix hosted Sydney FC in the next one. Phoenix have won 3 and drawn 1 of their last 4. Well, Sydney have won all 5, so... it could be an interesting game. Sydney FC have lost only 1 of their last 7 games against the Phoenix and won each of their 2 meetings between these sides in the last 2 times. The Sky Blues are undefeated in their last 4 visits to Westpac Stadium and have conceded just 2 goals in that period. There have been 17 goals in the Phoenix last 3 games at home, 9 of which have been scored by the Phoenix. That's a lot of goals.
It is a few.
17 goals in 3 games at an average of 5.6. That's pretty good maths. 5.66. Just off the top of my head. Per game. That's a fair amount. That makes me think it's going to be an over market. Yeah. I'd even go over 3.5 goals this game, Jake. No, Sydney's good defensively. I don't know. It's going to be a draw, I think. No, Wellington's going to win. They haven't got any. They haven't got O'Neill or Brillante. What?
You need to go look at what Levo just posted on the FIFA.
Oh, come on. Really, let's go with the podcast, Jake. Come on.
Yeah. Prediction, Jordan?
Hmm?
Prediction?
Oh, I said Wellington win.
Yeah, I think they will too. I don't think Sydney will be asked either. They don't really need to be. There's 17 points on top of the table. But it'll be a very big win for Wellington too, especially if Perth don't win. And I hope that happens. I hope Wellington win and Perth lose. So then there's that bit of tension going into the last round of the season for the final spot. Could you imagine if Perth bottled it and Wellington just sneak their way into the finals? That'd be something. Save the Knicks. What up?
Please don't save the Knicks. Western Sydney hosting Melbourne Victory, Jake. Oh, what a game we have on our hands. Western Sydney going to win. Melbourne Victory have won their last 3 games against the Wanderers, keeping a clean sheet on each occasion and scoring 8 goals in that span. Unfortunately, they're not going to keep a clean sheet this time, and they're probably going to lose. But good effort nonetheless. West Sydney have turned the season around, Jake, and I think the revival has kept them going.
The revival, I think it's going to be a draw. I think we've got the wood over Western Sydney a fair bit lately.
Western Sydney jaunderers.
And they just don't really know how to beat us recently. So, I don't know. They're a very good team. They've picked up their form, but I think Musket is a bit fucking angry lately with the way that we've been playing, and we're bound to go into the finals. I think either this week or next week against Central Coast, we're going to put about 4 or 5 on the team. So
probably Central Coast.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But yeah, I don't know. We've got the wood over Western Sydney at the moment, so I think we can win, but yeah, I think it's going to be a draw. Just Western Sydney will... We will miss Burrow and Carrier, but I think Western Sydney at the same time just don't really have it in their mentality to beat us.
Perth Glory host Brisbane, and I think Brisbane's going to win.
So, hope so.
That's good. Got the Knicks.
It's sort of a win-win situation for me, because if Perth win, then there's no chance Brisbane can catch victory. Well, really, so there's no chance Brisbane can catch victory either way. But like I said earlier, it'd just be really good to go into the last week of the A-League for once with the potential of someone dropping out of the finals and someone going into the finals, especially when next week...
And someone
week
getting Perth, relegated.
Especially when next week Perth play against City and Wellington play against Brisbane. And both those games as well are going to be on the Sunday, so... Could be a super Sunday of A-League next week.
Yeah. Central Coast hosts Newcastle in the F3 M1 derby. What?
F3.
Newcastle Jets are undefeated in the last 7 iterations of the M1 derby. I
swear. Is it the F1 derby? I'm sure, I don't know.
M1? What's the F3 derby?
It's the F3 derby. What the fuck are they talking about? Oh, yeah, because they changed the name of the highway. the name of the highway used to be the F3, and now it's the M1.
M1 Derby.
Or some shit. I don't know, but it's the F3 Derby.
Luton Town FC versus Watford rivalry. Another name occasionally used in the press is the M1 Derby. Luton Town versus Watford.
Here we go.
Central Coast versus Newcastle. This is not the same. Newcastle are undefeated in their last 7 M1 derbies.
F3, fuck.
The Jets have won their last 2 M1 derbies out of Central Coast Stadium after having won one of their 15 games against the Mariners there prior. Oh, gee, Mariners used to be a force.
But if you type in F3 derby into Google, it comes up with Central Coast Newcastle.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
If you type in M1 derby on Google, it comes up with a completely different
derby. Luton Town versus Watford.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I don't even care. It's going to be a win for Central Coast.
If I'm honest, I'm more excited to watch the Legends game that's going to go on before it, between these two teams.
Patrick Funsquake.
The big Lubo Milicevic is going to line up for Newcastle Jets as well, so it's going to be sense. So I'm more excited to watch that game if I'm honest and watch this game. But
got 1 point in their last 15 potential points, so it's good.
They're both going to get a point each in this one too, so well done.
Mariners will win.
Mariners don't know how to win F3 derbies.
Yeah, neither did Newcastle, apart from the last 7 times.
Mariners haven't beaten Newcastle since 2014.
But they did score on the one against them in February.
So did Newcastle.
Yeah, but in that game, Galloway scored.
What's your logic?
He counts as 2.
So did Cokehead, does it?
Did you just call him Cokehead?
Yeah.
In the 92nd minute of that time that Central Coast won, they scored Mitch Duke.
What a guy. Imagine if Mitch Duke came back to Central Coast. Wouldn't happen, but, you know.
Jake.
Jordan.
I think that's all we've got time for today. Well, it's not. Probably we've got time for more, but realistically, it was that I want to talk about. The A-League's dead.
There's not a lot more to talk about, if I'm honest.
Yeah, A-League got a league. Fucking lift your game and bring in relegation and shit. I don't know. Give us a second division to talk about.
next week we'll cast our eye over the new proposed thing between Melbourne City of having under 13s, 15s, 17s.
It's actually under 14s, 16s and 18s, but you're close.
Realistically, there's going to be 13, 15, and 17-year-olds playing that team, so okay.
Yeah, probably the 13-year-olds in the under-18 team as well.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's it. We'll,
have a nice.
We'll talk about NPL next week.
See you.
Yeah, until Tuesday.
Bye, have a great day. I'm on top of the world, hey.